I hold in my hand a brick pattern or mold. This was made on October the 16th, 1946, by my grandfather on my mother's side, Earl Coburn. He worked at the Ironton, or locally Arnton, fire brick factory. And this particular brick would have been off-shaped because this would have gone in what would be a kiln so that it would come up like an igloo form. And the word brick is used a lot in our English language and mostly in a negative way. And in a moment we'll look at how bricks are used in the Bible also in a very negative way. For example, in our English language, we'll say in basketball, he threw up a brick, meaning he missed the shot. Or we'll say, it's a brick outside, meaning it's cold. Or, what was that? Oh, okay. So, if you've never heard that, anything, just shout it out. And if you have heard it, twist, and we'll have twist and shout. This place is getting wild. It's probably about time for me to leave. This one here is really bad. If you say, I bought a brick on the street, that means you bought cocaine. If a person is not very intelligent, you might say, he won't make it, he's a brick in college. A brick is also used for electronics that no longer works. For example, after the lightning bolt, the motherboard is now a brick. Another one that I found, yeah, we opened Pandora's box there. Another one is it's used to represent $100,000. For example, it'll cost a brick to buy that classic red convertible 1965 Mustang. And then another one, she was supposed to be here, but she bricked me, meaning you let a person down. And then I think you'll associate with this, on Friday morning, May 17th, when Frank Vick called me and said the church is flooded, it hit me like a... Yeah, right. Well, bricks are used in the Bible as well, 14 different times, in fact. First, at the Tower of Babel, that's a negative one. In 2 Samuel 12:31, captives were taken and they were put into forced labor to make bricks. In Ezekiel 4 and also Nahum 3, prophesying, build a wall of bricks because judgment is coming. And then, of course, our text today, which is Exodus chapter 5, where they were making bricks in slavery in Egypt. And with that, I'd like to ask you to please stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll be in Exodus chapter 5, and I'll be reading just four verses, but let me preface what I'm going to read. Moses was born into slavery. Pharaoh said, kill all the kids that are boys. He was hid in the bulrushes. Pharaoh's daughter took him in. He grew up in the palace. One day he saw his very own people being abused. He murdered a man, went into the desert, was there for 40 years, and then God called him. He said, I want you to be the deliverer. So he comes back and he gives the wonderful news to Pharaoh, you got to let my people go. And Pharaoh said, okay. Didn't kind of work that way. He kind of resisted a little bit. In fact, he resisted a whole lot. And that's why we have the 10 plagues. But after Moses presents this, here's what happened. Now, in slavery, they had to make the bricks. And we read this, verse 6 through 9. The same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks, as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry, let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words. Heavenly Father, we pray in a very devotional way as your people are gathered today and as we reflect on these past few weeks, that we would grasp for the right straws. We pray, Lord, that we would reach out to you. We pray from this historical account of your people suffering and needing to gather their own straw, that you would point us to Christ, that you would bring us united in spirit together. We pray, Father, that from this point, there would only be great, wonderful things happen here at Grace Chapel and in this community as we see your hand upon our lives. Help us, Lord, to do that which pleases you and honors you to the praise of your glory. For we pray in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. The title for the message is Grasping for Straws, and just like bricks, straw is used in a lot of different ways, and so I thought I would share some of those. For example, we might say, that's the last straw, meaning that's it. Or we might say, let's take a straw vote, which means it doesn't really count, but we're just kind of putting our toes in the water, so to speak. Or, Miss Bethany will like this one, it was the straw that broke the... Come on, Bethany. Oh, you're not saying, oh, okay. Oh, yeah. It broke the camel's back, so that's sad. Okay. We might say in an argument that you presented a straw man argument, meaning it's a false pretense. Or I've heard this used for sports teams, a certain player, a catalyst. They'll say, he's the straw that stirs the drink. He's the one that everything revolves around. Or if you get the wrong pass that you didn't want, you might say, I drew the short straw. And then, of course, grasping for straws. But then this phrase actually originates from this particular passage that we just read. You can't make bricks without straw. Meaning that you have to have the adequate provisions or supplies to make it work. Now on the screen, you'll see a picture of Egypt. For decades, in fact centuries, skeptics mocked at the passage we just read. Because in Mesopotamia and all other parts of the ancient world, you made brick just like my grandfather did down in southeast Ohio. You did it with a lot of heat, and you made it with no straw. You made it with clay and other ingredients because it would bond together. But archaeology has discovered that in Upper Egypt, they did not have the wood and the heat source to make brick, and additionally, the soil that was there. Now, you'll notice on the screen, the Nile River has a lot of branches. It's kind of a delta-type area. And so the composite is what is called the Nile alluvium, meaning it's a conglomerate of clay and also sand, but it's mostly sand. And whenever the clay is proportionately low and the sand is high, then you need a bonding agent. And so what they did is they put straw into this Nile alluvium, and it would bond it together until it would decay. And here's the interesting thing. It's so amazing how accurate the scriptures are, even to the minute details. They now know that when straw dissolves, it puts off what is called humic acid, which is a bonding agent that brings the clay and the sand together. All of us in this room are like clay and sand. We need that bonding agent that brings us together. During the interview process, and for those that are new to the congregation, when I first came, I spent 6 months just talking to people. And it wasn't just limited to the formal interview. It was also just standing around talking, listening, asking questions, and so forth. I was accumulating information. And one of the things that just didn't make sense to me is a lot of people commented, Grace Chapel, one of its great selling points is when there's a crisis, people really step up. And I found that interesting because when I came, it was kind of in unrest, let's say. But when there's a crisis, everybody comes together. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, do we create a crisis every week and solve that problem? No, that wouldn't work. But there are things that happen. Car accidents. People have a really bad report from the doctor. And I've seen you. You step up. I think you really do love each other and you love the people in the community. Well, after I got that phone call a week ago Friday, I got to see how Grace Chapel steps up. I went home on Saturday evening and just scratched down on a piece of paper, and I came up with those 2 days, mostly Saturday, almost 100 names of people who came and worked. And there was children, there were adults, there were people even with physical limitations that were here, and they worked, and it was hard work. The deacons of this church stepped up big time. I mean, they have shined. They continue to shine. They have really put in a lot of work, and we should appreciate each and every one of them. All of the elders were here to work, and as I said, there were people of all ages, and I watched kids really work hard. I saw people that were older than myself really work hard. And that was a time when Grace Chapel shined. But you know what? We're a lot like that clay and sand. We have a lot of differences. For example, on that Saturday, there were homeschoolers, public schoolers, Christian schoolers, and I never heard a word about that. On that Saturday, there were people who have all kinds of different views on the past pastors. I remember in the interview time, and this is where Mrs. Jenkins got to hear it, there were times I didn't know what to believe, because in the afternoon I would hear one version, and then that evening I'd hear a completely different version, and that may still exist. But when the crisis came, nobody cared about anybody's views on the past. Political perspectives. There's 17 different zip codes that the people of Grace Chapel come from. And you know, those each have their little niche and culture. But on that Saturday, it didn't make any difference at all. There's a number of different theological slants. I wondered and pondered before I even came here, because typically when you're getting interviewed to come in as an interim pastor, it's more on the practical side, like what would you do? 95% of the interview process was about doctrine, about theology. And there's a lot of different views. And on that day, all those are laid aside and focused on the crisis. Obviously, there's a lot of different views when it comes to your favorite sports team. Rumor has it that there was actually a Michigan guy in there pulling up carpet and working. And nobody said a word to me. Probably because it wasn't November. When we come to church, we dress quite differently. Some very casual, some very formal. When it comes to music, we all have our taste. Some would rather sing all hymns. Some would rather sing all contemporary songs. We're all across the board. So in a way, we are like clay and sand, very different. Now this next slide, and afterwards, I kind of outsourced this and got a professional to draw this up. If you have any complaints, I'll let you know how to get in touch with this guy. But on the board, you have six lines that represent straw, okay? Now, you can make it the straw you drink out of, or you can make it the kind that I'm talking about, the straw that would be baled up. Now, there's six of them, and if you took three of them, this next slide, you could make a triangle with these three pieces of straw. And I've put some words around each of these straws. One is preferences, another is differences, and another at the bottom is love. And at the very top, I've put the word self. When we focus on ourselves, we want our preferences. And we focus on the differences, and what happens is you have self-gratification. It's about me. It's about what I want. When we take the other three pieces of straw, we can formulate a totally different kind of triangle. Same shape, but it has these words: unity, diversity, and love. And at the very top, Christ. Now, diversity means that you appreciate. Differences means that you depreciate. It's a good thing we have a lot of diversity, because that means we have a lot of gifts, and we come together and we talk about issues, and we come to a point where what is best for Christ. And at the bottom, I put the word glorification. And there's a world of difference between those two triangles, both made of straw. And my question is, which straws are we going to grasp? What kind of triangle will we make? Let me share with you some words that you, the people of Grace Chapel, threw out to me when I asked the question, what is the picture that you would give of Grace Chapel? What are words that you would use to describe where Grace Chapel's at? Let me throw these words back to you to hear. Conflicted, chaotic, segregated, divided, confused, fragmented, friction, disarray, disconnected, fractured, unrest, unstable, wounded, broken, fragile, damaged, rudderless, shepherdless, treading water, floundering, struggling, self-focused, traditional, proud, cliquish, narrow-minded, legalistic, critical, self-righteous, apathetic, and partisanship. And that's just some. And that's how it was viewed at that time. Now, I want to share with you that those words describe that first triangle. I want to share with you, and I want to just say right up front, when I do talk with whoever comes in here to be the long-term pastor, I want to make it very clear to him that the church is not there. I really believe it's another 5-7 year process of just continuing to work together and getting a good vision to reach out in the community and to come together with resolve and purpose. So what I'm going to share with you now, I want to use a word trending. Things are trending in a very good direction. I think we're trending to be more loving. Obviously, from this morning, we're trending to laugh a lot more. I've actually heard people say, you know, they were almost afraid to express themselves in a humorous way. We're trending to be more expressive in worship. And it's okay not to express yourself. My wife and I kind of come from a background where we're a little bit staid and stoic. We're not, about the most you're going to get is the toe tapping and maybe, you know, just get to the hands of this level and it's like, I'm about where my comfort zone is at. But we're more expressive and that's what we want. We're trending that way. Definitely, we are trending to reach outside the fort. You know, Trump went to Washington to drain the swamp. I've come here to drain the moat. The alligators are gone. Crocodiles are gone. We want to drain that moat and reach out. And it's going in a very good direction. We're moving in the right direction and empowering leadership, whether it's deacons or elders or committees or even the staff. They need to be empowered to do their work and let them do it. We're better focused. We definitely have more freedom. There's a higher level of graciousness. I actually had people say that we shouldn't even call it Grace Chapel. If our first name is Grace, then we ought to express grace, and you're definitely going there. There's higher hope. There's higher optimism. In contrast to the pride, I think there's more humility. There's greater trust. And you know, one of the things that I shared when I gave the interview report was that tradition runs the ship, or steers the ship, I think I said. You know, an event like this flood kind of knocks the props out of tradition. No Sunday school. What in the world would the Apostle Paul think if we didn't have Sunday school? And I'm sure Peter is going to let us have it when we get to heaven because we don't have vacation Bible school. Those are good traditions, but you can live without them, and we're trending in a very good way. Now, when we grasp for straws, we need to pick the right kind of straws that build a triangle that helps us focus upon Christ. I want to share with you a verse of Scripture from 1 Corinthians 1:10. After his introduction to this letter, Paul addressed around a dozen different issues that were problems in the Corinth church. Anytime I hear people say, well, we just want to be a New Testament church, well, they had their problems. And Corinth was one of the worst. And there was a lot of divisions. And here's what Paul said after his initial introduction. I appeal to you, brothers. Now, I like that approach because he didn't come in with the hammer. He didn't come in as an apostle, which he had the right to do, to legislate it. He said, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the word we put on the top of that triangle. The focus is upon Christ. That all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be unified or united in the same mind and the same judgment. And all the things that we can list that would describe how we view things differently can be laid aside. If we have unity in diversity, it makes us stronger than if we were all the same. When we get into a pastoral search committee meeting, when we have an elder meeting, when we have a deacons meeting or a missions team meeting, and we share different viewpoints, that only makes us stronger when the focus is upon the glorification of Christ. Next, I want to share with you a verse that Jim Spain shared in an elders meeting a couple months ago. And when I heard that, I thought, wow, what are the ways that I'm like Peter? And here's the verse, Matthew 16:23. Now, speaking of Christ, when Christ turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me." Now, Jim was focusing upon that phrase, "you are a hindrance." How many times have we been a hindrance or an obstacle to what God is wanting to do? But I want to focus on what he said after that. He said, "For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Now, that first triangle, three pieces of straw, is the things of man. It's my preferences, our differences, but I'm concerned about me and it going the way I want it. On the other hand, the things of God are expressed by that second triangle, because it's about unity and diversity and about Christ and loving him and glorifying his name. Going back to that expression, you can't make bricks without straw. Another way of putting that would be this. A church can't move forward and make bricks without straw. And you need the right kind of straw to have that bonding, that unity within diversity, loving God for his glory. I ask this for each person, young and old, new members, newcomers, people who have been here all their life. Let's grasp for the straws that glorify the Lord and honor him. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And as I pray, as I shared in the email, we're going to give opportunity for some very short, quick, a minute or less, testimonies of things that God has spoken to you about. Maybe what you witnessed when you came out for the work day, maybe a verse of scripture, maybe appreciation for the leadership and what they're doing. But at least 12, 15 people, we have a microphone up here, and I'll be standing down there at the end of the prayer. If you'll just kind of line up right here, we'll just give you an opportunity. And I think it would just kind of be good to hear from you what God is doing in our hearts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, all things come from you. And while we slept that night, and it thundered and it lightning, and without our knowledge, you were sending to us a bonding agent that would bring us together. And Lord, we pray that as we share some of these ways in which you've spoken to us, that you would help us all to work together in love and harmony for the building of your kingdom. And help us, Lord, to continue to grow in love, to reach out more to our community, to share the gospel with those who are lost, and to focus on the main thing, which is the Great Commission, to make disciples and to baptize them, to teach them, and to grow them in the faith. Help us, Lord, as we focus and as we share these testimonies, we pray that your name will be glorified through it all. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.